This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, good Friday to everybody. Welcome to the Carson Anderson program. Scott Anderson with you today, along with Kang, our producer, and Evan run the phones and the whole website, everything else. Doug will be back on Monday's program. We'll talk with you happily. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Same number to Texas as well. I'd like to say hello to everybody up there in Twitch land. If you're watching us, you can stream us live on Twitch with video, twitch.tv, and search for the 97.1 ticket, and you'll find our show. You can also stream along with the radio.com app, which is also pretty cool because you can rewind stuff that happened in the last 24 hours on this radio station with the radio.com app with the rewind function of it. So that's pretty cool too. But as we get ready for the weekend, there's a lot going on this weekend, right? We got, you heard Tony mention the update, Michigan State basketball against UAD. We've got college football tomorrow, Michigan State and Ohio State. We got the Lions on Sunday. There's a lot going on, but I think we want to start with where the guys in the morning show were finishing up with, and that's the Robert Saleh stuff. And not necessarily that they're getting the endorsement from the state legislature. I really don't care about that. It means nothing other than it might bother me a little bit that they even took the time out of their schedules to go ahead and endorse a candidate for a coach for the Detroit Lions. I'd rather they just worry about stuff that has to deal with our state during a pandemic and maybe try to help out the businesses here, because that's probably your time better spent. And speaking of which, also because it's a Friday and because we are doing what we're doing, we do our Friday shout outs for the restaurants. You want to give some love to one of the local restaurants out there? Feel free. Go ahead, call. Let us know what you love about that restaurant. Let us know what they've got. What's the best item that they have there. And we're trying to keep businesses afloat as much as we all can. We're all in this together, and we only want the best for the people of this state. And it's really, really hard right now for the restaurant industry. The food and beverage industry is just... they've just been jackhammered, frankly. So many other businesses have been allowed to come back, and it's great. But the restaurant industry they've had to go through hoops. They've done it all. They've done everything they possibly can. They're willing to work with the state and try to do more and give us more guidelines. And they want to just get out there and continue to be able to serve people as best they can. And they need all our help. So if you want to go ahead and give a shout out, feel free, 248-539-9797. But, Kang, you had mentioned this before the show. You and I were walking in towards the studio together and talking about this with Robert Saleh. It really seems like this guy, this is like the name that's come out right now. Like, this is the number one with a bullet name. If people already made their minds up that Robert Saleh is the guy, no matter what, have they already written it on their little post-it note? Robert Saleh, no matter what?
I feel like a good portion of people have, for sure. And just to reiterate it, like, yeah, like you said, I don't care what the Michigan politicians endorse or what they say or who they want to endorse for the Lions head coach. That doesn't, I take that with a grain of salt. But I think that it's weird that it's happening because they're not the only ones. You know, now it's dipped its toes into the politicians, right? I mean, the fans, media, now they're endorsing it's Robert Saleh. All I keep reading is articles about Robert Saleh. Even players that Richard Sherman said Robert Saleh needs a shot, and I'm not sure if you mentioned Detroit for specifically, but it seems like Saleh or bust, like you said. And what I find surprising about that is, I asked you while walking into the studio, like you said, was I'd love to get the gauge of Lions fans right now. Is this everyone, or is this just happen to be what's out there right now. You know what I mean? Is this? I would like to get the pulse and a gauge of Lions fans. Are they all on the Robert Saleh train bust or no one else? Or do you want to see a real search? And do you have an open mind where you want to see other people possibly get the job and not just Robert Saleh?
I mean, I like Robert Saleh. I'm intrigued by Robert Saleh, and I'm certainly want to interview Robert Saleh for if I'm the Lions. I want him being interviewed for the job. I mean, he's got a resume that he's built up since he was a defensive assistant at Michigan State, his first coaching job back in 2002 and 2003. And you know, he's worked his way up. He went to he's coached at Georgia as a defensive assistant. He went to the NFL in 2005 with the Houston Texans as an intern. And then worked his way up, defensive quality control, assistant linebackers coach. Went to Seattle, which is a program we all really like, right? Seattle back in 2011, 2013, where he was a quality control coach there. Went to the Jaguars as a linebacker coach in 2014, 2016, which if I'm not mistaken, I think the Jags had a pretty decent defense back there. I'd have to go back and look, but they were starting to put things together defensively. And then since 2017, he's been the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers. And, of course, the Niners have had a pretty good defense. And they've also got a lot of really good players, but, hey, man, work with him. And he is. And he's turned himself into a hell of a candidate. And I can't help but think that I think there are many parts of the appeal to Saleh, and I think some people are latching on to the whole Dearborn aspect of it.
I was just going to say, let's just call it what it is, right?
I think it's part of it. I don't think it's... I think the number one thing is... Here's what I think the number one thing is. Because when you watch San Francisco play, you notice Robert Saleh. Camera loves Robert Saleh because he's the guy, that the type of guy that you see on the sidelines that Lions fans want. The Lions fan wants to see the guy jumping up and down on the sideline, cheering his team on, high-fiving his guys, giving a chest bump to his guys, being very vocal out there, screaming at the officials. Fans love that stuff, whether it's college or pros, because what we haven't seen from the Lions is that type of guy. Like, Schwartz was kind of that type of guy, but the team was so bad that, you know, it just kind of went by the wayside there. But through it all, we've had so many coaches that haven't shown emotion that I think fans just desperately want to get there. They want to see that guy. And because you can identify quickly with Saleh, and then you're like, oh, by the way, did you know he's from Dearborn? He's got family ties here. Yeah. Did you know he started his career at Michigan State and then went to Central Michigan? Did you know that? And like, it's becoming the whole, you know, Clayton Kershaw's Matthew Stafford tie-in. The second he sees Saleh, Dearborn native. You know he's from Dearborn. Kang, did you know? Have you heard? He's from Dearborn. And I don't mean for it to be a knock, because it's fine, but it sure shouldn't be the determining factor whether or not this guy should be the next head coach of the Detroit Lions. And oh, by the way, I still subscribe to the theory that I want to hire a GM before I hire a coach, even though the coaching name is the one that fans can kind of wrap their head around more quickly, because we know coaching candidates more than we know GM candidates, and that I get. And you know, I mentioned earlier this week, the Athletic had a column, a Q&A with Amy Trask, who used to be the CEO of the Oakland Raiders, and was talking about, you don't necessarily have to hire the GM before you hire the coach. You have to hire good guys. And if you identify Robert Saleh as the guy, or any other coaches, that's the guy I have to have as my coach, then I suppose you can do that. It's not necessarily the way I would do it, but I'm open to just about anything. But right now, it's what we're talking about. And it seems like people are just hell-bent on Robert Saleh.
I think it's okay to talk about the coach, because, listen, we all know the GM, and if you want the GM hired first, that's totally fine. I agree with that theory, actually. But that doesn't mean you can't start identifying coaches either. Absolutely. You know what I mean? To interview and guys that you want your GM to take a look at, and that's what we're kind of doing here. As far as the Saleh thing from being Dearborn, I disagree a little bit. Listen, yeah, you see the fiery assistant head coach on the sidelines getting along great with his players, defense playing well. That stands out. But here, man, it is it's a big deal to be around here, and I can't help but think that the reason people are so, one of the main reasons people are so on this solid bandwagon and train is because he's from here. I just can't overlook that. In every article, I know They might say that about other coaches where they're from, but here you see it. It's in bold. It's a capital letters. Dearborn, you know, from Michigan State. It's always this local stuff with
people
Sala.
Always will look for the local flag. I mentioned Tony. You know, Tony Dungy's from Jackson, Michigan.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, did you know he drove through a Schwartz Creek one time? Well, what does that have to do with anything, right?
Yeah, he went to a Jack's car wash.
He's been
cold
in the,
water.
That, you know, he vacationed in the Thumb. He said it was okay.
He said it was all right. Yeah. But 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Are we blinded by the local love for Robert Saleh? Is this the guy? Like, already we're just a few days since we learned of the firing of Matt Patricia. We're less than a week. I mean, it'll be, you know, full week tomorrow. I mean, 6 days since we found out that the Patricia wasn't coming back officially. And already it seems like just this groundswell of support for Robert Saleh. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We'll talk about it next with you here on 97.1, The Ticket. So we heard the discussion that Stoney and Jansen were having regarding Robert Saleh towards the end of the show. And they were mentioning that the Michigan State Legislature is basically, and they've had a whole bunch of people endorse Robert Saleh to be the next head coach of the Detroit Lions, which I do find to be interesting that they're getting involved with this whole thing. I think there are bigger fish to fry for the legislature than to worry about the next head coach of the Lions. I mean, that's our job. That's what we do. That's what we get paid to do. We talk about it with you at 248-539-9797. But as we're talking about this, you know, King and I are discussing what do we think the biggest appeal of Robert Saleh is. And you know, I think the biggest reason why fans really like Robert Saleh is because, first of all, because he's got a good defense to work with. But secondly, because I think he's animated on the sidelines and fans desperately want to have somebody who seems like they've got that personal investment in the team that you can tangibly see or touch. And Kang, you think
I think
the Dearborn tie?
Yes, I agree with what you just said, but I think the number one reason why people want him here is the Dearborn local ties. And he may be a great coach, he may not be. But I really think that matters to a lot of people. Like when you have the local, it was Dearborn state politicians, right? That were endorsing this bipartisan, you know, endorsement of Robert Saleh. Like, don't tell me that didn't matter to them. Of course it mattered to them. That's why they endorsed him, right? I know to those specific people, but I mean, we're asking everybody else in Metro Detroit why Robert Saleh or why not. But it seems to be that he has got this momentum just, and the season's not even, you know, we're not even near the end.
The only reason to me why the local thing should have any consideration whatsoever is because that person would have a knowledge of what it's like to be a Lions fan. You know, he was a Lions fan growing up, so he knows. Okay, he knows what Lions fans have gone through. He knows the futility of the franchise. He gets all that. So you don't have to give him the history lesson about why fans are so starving here. That's the only thing that I give credence to. Oh, he's local. But other people have other says in it. Let's go. 248-539-9797, a telephone number. Brian's in Detroit. Brian, welcome to 97 on the Ticket. Hey, Brian.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Brian.
Brother, listen, I don't know. He might be a hell of a coach. But he's not going to have those players he got on that defense coming here to Detroit.
No, he's not.
Some people here might think he's this great coach. I just don't know. His community getting behind him, the people from his group of people supporting him. Man, I could just imagine if a bunch of black folks got together and said, we want that coordinator from Washington, and they was all black. First thing everybody mouth would be, we can't just hire somebody because they're black. And I'm saying the same thing about Robert Saleh. We can't hire him because his people supported him, and they sent a letter. No matter whoever thought an idea, that's not the only reason to hire somebody.
Well, I agree with you 100%. You can't just hire the guy because he looks like you or because he's, you know, from your community. That's, I think that's not a wise way to go about things. There has to be more substance to it than that. And there is with him. The good news is there is substance to it.
Gad, he might be one hell of a coach. But Gad, I heard that about the last guy they hired that was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm worried about coordinators.
That last thing, that if you not bring in that team that you come from, don't tell me you got to come here and prove it. Because if you get off to another bad start, the Lions went down the same road, hiring a guy with no head coach experience, the guy that the community backed, that didn't prove nothing because he had one of the best defenses ever, and he showed a lot of emotions on the side. It looked foolish, just like Schwartz. The Lions need to make a great decision on this pick, not just because a bunch of people got behind any candidate. black, white, green, or yellow. They need to make a right pick now because people are tired of the Lions making the same dumb mistakes. Don't tell me about emotions.
Brian, and thanks for the call, man. I'm with you on this. It would be a really nice story to write about, but I have the same apprehensions Brian does about hiring a coordinator that has no head coaching experience. I have a real problem with that. I want a guy that's got head coaching experience, has been there and done that, that has built something up, hasn't been walked into a real nice situation. Where a general manager is spent the first round picks or is traded to acquire guys on the defense to help you out. It's not to say he's a bad coach because I think he might be a hell of a coach. And that's why you do the interview process and you go through all that. But I'm very apprehensive about the coordinator situation. Same thing goes with Eric Bieniemy. I got big question marks about Eric Bieniemy because I don't know how much of his fingerprint is really on that offense that they run in Kansas City. I think he might be a hell of a coach, but I don't know. I don't know. And, I looked at the Athletic had a whole list of candidates, potential coaching candidates, and one guy that was not on the list, I forget what the guy's name is. Now I have to look him up. But the defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, okay, this is something where I look at and I go, that's interesting. The defensive coordinator from the Dolphins has been on the job now for 2 years. He came over from the Patriots with Brian Flores to take over the Dolphins franchise when he came over to take over the Dolphins franchise. He started working, I believe, with the defensive backs, and then this is the first year he's the full-on defensive coordinator. And they've done wonders in Miami with that team. Now, overall ranking defensively, I think they're middle of the pack, but their pass defense is really good. Like the quarterback rating against is outstanding. The points given up per game as a team, I think they're second in the league. Those are things that I find really intriguing. I don't know if that guy's the right guy or not for the job, but that's kind of where I would look at. If I'm going to look at a coordinator, look at a guy who's on a team that may not be a great team, but has done really good things with that team in a short amount of time with few resources. And that's what I like about the guy in Miami. I'm not saying he's the right guy. It's just one of those criteria that I look at because you have to take deeper dives than just say he's from Dearborn or he's animated on the sideline or, hey, look, it's a great defense. There are great players in that defense too.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't matter if the guy had head coaching experience or not, whether he's only been a coordinator. To me, that doesn't bother me. I find it a little surprising. It's something you kind of worry about or looking into because you and Doug talk almost every day about Baltimore and Pittsburgh and how great those organizations are. And both their head coaches were not head coaches before they got those jobs. In fact, one was a special teams coordinator in John Harbaugh. So I think it just goes back to maybe that Amy Trask article about just get the right guy. Whether they were a coordinator, whether they were the head coach before, just get the right guy. I prefer the GM first, and you hope the GM gets the right coach in place. But yeah, to me,
I don't rule it out. Don't get me wrong. I don't rule it out just because they don't have the head coaching experience. I'm just saying that's already kind of like a knock against you in my mind. It doesn't mean that you're out of the job. It means that I want the interview process where you're gonna wow me in the interview where I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. They don't have that head coaching experience. I'm talking to a guy who sounds like a head coach right now.
But it sounds like it's something that's on your list. It's not on my list at all, I guess, is what I'm saying. It may not be a huge...
Well, I probably have 50 things on the list. And yes, that's one of the things on the list. It would be nice if you can check that off. Past experience as a head coach. A successful head coach, a lot of these things. But you don't see many guys that are available with head coaching experience that were successful as a head coach. So that's one of those issues. Back to the phones we go, and Chris is in Southgate. Chris, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. Great show. I got a quick restaurant check-in and then just a short comment about the coaching thing. The restaurant is Moro's in Allen Park. It's fine Italian dining. One of their best menu options is the Veal Colombo. They're kind of struggling right now because they're not quite up for the fine dining experience to be a takeout experience. But if you call and place your order and you get there 5 minutes before they tell you to, everything comes out hot. It's great. They take good care of you. They're very nice people. And it would just be a tragedy to lose a restaurant like that in the Downriver area, being one of the more upscale restaurants.
Okay, and it's called Moro's?
Yeah, Moros.
Okay.
They do have a website. It's morosdining.com.
Great. Great to know. And, Chris, thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. And then I think I'm kind of torn between the two topics that you guys are throwing out there for the coaching experience. I want to lean more towards Kang's side of it. I do think a GM that knows what he's doing is more appropriate first. I'm not opposed to having things go out of that order. I also think that Dearborn and that community being as strong as it is great that they want to get behind Saleh as a candidate for the job. But that only matters to me if he wants to be here. If he is actually interested in being a candidate for this job, then yes, it does make a huge difference. But it all boils down to who's going to hold the people we put in charge accountable for what they do. We didn't see any accountability out of this last regime. We let them run amok, and it set us back from where we were with Caldwell. We need to be progressive. Culture is always going to beat scheme, and we need to just make sure, Kang said it best, we get the right guy. You know, Bill Belichick could walk in our doors and be here in Detroit. If we don't put the right people on the field based on draft and free agency, and if we don't hold him accountable for in-game decisions when he's working with our organization or whoever we have under center, then he's going to have to go right away. You know, and I know we can't just have a revolving door. We got to let things work. But what are the expectations going in? Make sure these guys that we bring in know them and hold them to those expectations.
Well,
and then let them have expectations of you as the owner.
That's what and thanks for the call. I think that's what Sheila did. I think the expectations were laid out plain and clear for this regime of what was expected this year. They didn't live up to them, and they were gone. Gone. But we'll see what they decide to do. You can take a text as well at 248-539-9797. I would hope that they are going to hire a GM first and let him make the coaching decision. Yeah, I agree with that. Kang agrees with that. I mentioned that there was an article in The Athletic with Amy Trask, a former CEO with the Raiders, and she said just hire the right guy. It doesn't matter if it's a coach or GM first. Just hire somebody. And that's her pet peeve. Me, I want the GM first because I think you have to empower the general manager. You're hiring them to make decisions for your football team. Let them do that. From Marcel and Macomb, I've been calling that shot since last year. The man has energy, and we have had a bump on a log for too long with Caldwell and Patricia. See, they want the animated guy on the sideline.
They had Schwartz, and then look, I mean, he did get them to the playoffs.
Schwartz had maybe the best Lions team we've seen since 1991.
And that's why I still think the GM is the most important, because listen, as great as a coach can be, you still need players. This is a players' league, you know? And of course, a coach can get more out of his players, but the GM is so important because the draft, the free agency, the roster you build. And just one more quick thing. Brian also mentioned about the fine dining and the carryout. There are a lot of restaurants that can survive on carryout. You know, pizza places are the obvious ones. But fine dining.
There's a lot of places that can't.
Yeah. Brunch, those places where you normally, you sit down to eat, right?
Yeah.
You can't. So
it's an
experience. Exactly. So those places could really use the carryout help. And so I just like Brian said, whether it's fine dining or a brunch place or a place that is more about the experience, hibachi grill, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you can get carry out from those places, that would help out a lot.
All right. I just put a Twitter poll up, and you can follow us on Twitter, DougAndGator971. And let me first say that we are limited with the number of choices you can put on a Twitter poll. There are only four. So the question is, what will be the Lions' record over the last five games of the season? And the choices are 4-1. 3-2, 2-3, or 1-4. And because I'm only limited to the four possibilities out there, I eliminated 5-0 because I think we all think that's ridiculous. And I also eliminated 0-5. Not that it's ridiculous, but it would probably be the least popular one there, I guess. So that's, I made an executive decision and went with the other choices. The poll will be up until, well, it'll be up for 4 hours. 3.5 hours.
Call a doctor.
If it's past that, we will have to call a doctor, but it should be 3.5 hours is what the poll limit is. So go ahead, vote early, vote often at DougAndGator971. Back to the phones we go, 248-539-9797. Albert is in Detroit. Welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Albert.
Good morning, guys. Longtime listener. Love the show.
Thank you, Albert.
I wanted to mention something about Robert Saleh. I'm going to take it back to the This is back when Mariucci got hired by the Lions. And if you remember correctly, this town went nuts for Mariucci. when I tell you nuts for him, he's a youper, not even Detroit connections. Obviously, he's got the college connections with Izzo and all that. People loved him. I loved it too at first. But as time went on, we've seen it didn't work out. Now, what's wrong with people getting crazy for Robert Saleh? In my opinion, his credentials are better. And not only that, you know, he's more current as far as what's going on, and he's been more consistent. And the legislature thing, I agree. The legislature shouldn't have written that letter, but you can't fault him for that.
No, hold on a second. I don't want you to misunderstand this, Albert. I have no problem with the community getting behind their guy. They want their guy there. I would expect that. Absolutely. I don't think the legislature needs to take up for it and throw in, hey, here's our support for this guy. I think that's kind of dumb. But
I bet Saleh appreciates the gesture, but he probably didn't need that. He doesn't need that vote of confidence from them. He's fine.
He doesn't need it. Of course not. But you said you think that you think he had a better resume going into this than Mariucci did when Mariucci was hired?
You know, Mariucci had a better head coaching resume. I'll give him that. But if you look at what he's done with his defense and with the players and how much the players just love him. I mean, I'm not knocking Mariucci. He had Jeff Garcia and Terrell Owens going crazy for a minute, and they got with Green Bay that one game. But, I mean, come on. Other than that, did he do anything? Let's be honest. At least
with the Lions, he was horrible. I'm not debating that he was a bad coach with the Lions and a bad fit, because he was. I'm just saying, going into that whole hire, I'm glad you brought it up, because that's actually one of the things I was going to bring up. It seemed like the perfect fit. You had a guy who was successful as a head coach with another team that seemed to understand everything about the Lions, had the local tie to it and everything. It was a perfect fit, and the Lions went and got that to come here, and it was awful. It was brutal. It didn't work out. And I'm not saying the same thing would happen with Saleh. I'm intrigued by Saleh. I think he does have an interesting resume to look at. There are a couple of things that I don't want to use the word bristle at, but I would be a little more cautious at. And that is, okay, you have to do a much deeper dive in what he has done as a defensive coordinator, because he has been given some gifts there. There are really good players on that defense to work with. What I'm glad to see is that he didn't waste them. That's huge. Because we've seen plenty of talent come and go that you could say has been wasted. Did the Lions waste Barry Sanders? Did the Lions waste Calvin Johnson? Did they waste offenses that seemed like that they were good enough? Yeah, I think you can make that argument. So I just want to make sure that whoever this head coach is going to be, that it's the right choice. We all need it to be the right choice. This is a golden opportunity for the Lions to start all over with a new GM and a new head coach. Just find it interesting how people are reacting with the all the Saleh love right now, and kind of feel like it's I think it's because of the animation he shows on the sidelines, and Kang brings up the local aspect, and I think, yeah, you combine those two things together and it's a strong force. From a ticket texter, we need energy and emotion, plus he has my favorite assistant coach in Chris Kasurek, and I hope he brings him back. Right, he used to be with the Lions before. Saleh is fine. Bieniemy is my number one. I've got big questions about Eric Bieniemy. I really don't want the Lions to get a home run hire. It sounds strange, but Harbaugh was supposed to be a home run hire. Just get us a solid guy where I say, who? And then 5 years later, it's perfect. Yeah, that would be awesome. Which, by the way, Jim Harbaugh would be a better hire in the NFL, perhaps, than he was in the college game. But I think he is persona non grata here, if that name is even brought up.
But, I mean, you can't, you know, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, it seemed like the perfect match.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, really good in college at Stanford, you know, really good.
He had one really good year with an outstanding quarterback at Stanford.
Successful either way. Yeah. Also, but he was successful before he was
successful
at
Stanford. Successful in the NFL.
No, was it San Jose State he was at? He was successful there
San
as
Diego.
Well. San Diego State,
University.
Sorry.
Not San Diego State.
Successful at San Diego, successful at Stanford, successful in San Francisco, and then a former quarterback in Michigan. I mean, it seemed like a perfect, match. Made in heaven, right? And then look where we are now. I think that's what maybe the text was saying. Like, sometimes the obvious answer may not be the right answer. Who else would you have wanted? I mean, you're not a Michigan fan.
No.
But you asked Michigan fan, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, it's perfect.
I thought it would have worked out until I started to see some of the things he was doing as the head coach of the Michigan program, and I questioned it. And number one is the quarterback. Kept kicking the can down the road about developing your own quarterback. Kept going to transfer portal and looking that route. And I think Jim Harbaugh is better suited to being an NFL head coach because you can make those moves in the NFL without having to have any repercussions of it. You want a free agent quarterback? You want to upgrade? Go ahead and do it. You've got that power. But I think that is a name that would have Lions fans terrified and yet might be the most qualified guy for the job, which is ironic. PJ Fleck fits today's NFL. Young offensive mind who built and actually coached teams from the bottom. That's from Fred. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, PJ Fleck, obviously, with the success that he had with Western Michigan, built that program up. He built up Minnesota's program. They had a heck of a year last year. Maybe not so much this year, but this year is COVID in college, and it's just wacky, and it's just kind of weird. But PJ Fleck has a lot of red flags, too. People think that he's just more of a used car salesman than he is a real coach. He's a hell of a motivator, which is a big part of being a coach. But is he a really good X's and O's guys? X's and O guy? I don't know. 248-539-9797, the telephone number. Shelton's in Detroit. You're welcome to 97 on the ticket. Hey, Shelton.
Hey, brother Gator. How's it going?
Good.
Listen, like I said, well, I had to chime in, you know, with the coaching thing, and I like Robert Saleh, but forget just the coach. I mean, we got to get the head GM first, then a coach, and they both had to establish a winning culture. The Lions don't right now. We don't. Our culture is being the joke of the NFL, and I would personally tell Sheila, your team has been a joke of the NFL for how many almost 60-something years.
Yeah, I think she knows.
It's like you got to establish a winning culture. At least with Caldwell, there was a culture being established. And then, sad to say, when Patricia and Quinn came in, the culture got jacked up again.
Well, they tried, and thanks for calling, Shelton. The one thing that Patricia and Quinn tried to do was to emulate what worked in New England and bring that here. Now, obviously, you can't make it work exactly like that unless you have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But what they tried to do were the organizational things that New England was doing. The way that New England practiced was how they wanted to bring practice here. And it didn't work. They had the wrong head coach. May have been the right philosophy, but they had the wrong head coach and the wrong GM. The GM just made horrible, horrible decisions. Terrible free agent pickups. Questionable trades. Very questionable draft picks in the first and second round in particular of what they decided to do. It clearly didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, Orlovsky has tweeted about this, and some people don't, you know, trust in what Orlovsky says, or some people do, but what he said was the culture was fine in the Lions locker room as far as players wanting to play. I think what Patricia and Quinn tried to do is put their culture into it,
yeah.
It didn't work. I mean, even if the players now say they all will ride or die with Patricia and they'll play for him, the results weren't there. So, and that's what matters the most. So,
because the players would have done that with Caldwell.
Yeah, and they had better records. So,
yeah, looking back retrospectively on the Caldwell era, what I wished what could have happened was that there was a conversation that could have been had, said, Jim, we love you, but you're not the head coach. Will you stay on in the organization? We're going to elevate, say, Terrell Austin to be the head coach or find somebody else to be the head coach, but we want you to stay part of this organization because he was kind of that fatherly figure out there. I really like Jim Caldwell, just not as a head coach. But we don't need to rehash the Jim Caldwell thing. We don't. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Again, we have the Twitter poll up there about the rest of the season for the Lions, the last five games, what you think the record will be. There are only four choices available. That's all we could do, so... It's there from anywhere from 1-4 to 4-1. Go to Doug and Gator 971 on Twitter.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.